if you're heading to a tanning bed, the study says that you could be killing yourself slowly. They liken it to arsenic. Wow. Think of all the people that scurry to those tanning beds thinking that they're going to look a little bit better as they go to whatever high school reunion or party or event it is that's scheduled. And we're talking about all kinds of ages, young to old, using the tanning bed. So that's a shocker. We'll talk about that. Plus, related, health care. And ultimately, will we have health care across the board? It's called health care reform. Right now, the Democrats are denying that they've said there will be no vote on this in the House before the August 7th recess and taking it back up in the fall instead as the option. Although it's looking more and more like that because people are finding out, a lot of the constituents of these various congressmen and women are finding out some of the actual loaded things in this 1,000 pages plus loosely written healthcare measure. And the more you find out, the more you're confused as to what you're reading. So there have been a lot of complaints lately. I hear the emails are blowing up in a couple of the offices on the Hill. You can certainly react to health care reform. The latest, getting closer and closer to the idea of euthanasia, that's at least somewhere written in the bill. Not the word euthanasia, but that there is unnecessary health care dollars going toward the elderly in cases where you know the outcome, where you know it's just a matter of time before someone dies, instead of getting all these opinions and going to all these doctors, saving the money this way could go back into healthcare, and we wouldn't have the blowouts that we're seeing across the nation in hospitals and trying to pay for doctor's care and those who can't afford insurance, etc. At least that's the way the storyline goes. Kate Delaney, proud to be with you here on a show called America Tonight. So, of course, those are a couple of things that we're going to talk about in sports shorts. More on Michael Vick, and Brett Favre says no to Minnesota. I'm shocked because, frankly, the people that I talked to, and I had some pretty good sources on this one, said that he was really, really leaning toward the Vikings, and it looked like Favre would try to, you know, come at it again. But something apparently changed his mind in the last week or two, so he told the Vikings, forget about it. How about that? Surprise. Will he stay retired might be the better question. Also in sports shorts, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? There's a new press on to get him reinstated into baseball and into the Hall of Fame. I have some definite thoughts on that. You might as well. It's funny, if you do a sports talk show, that's always one of those easy topics that people bring out. Every year, it seems Pete Rose goes to Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame vote, and he's signing autographs somewhere in the town. Somebody pays him to come in and sign autographs, and the lines are jammed for him. People either love Pete Rose or they hate Pete Rose for the whole gambling thing. But I'll give you my thoughts, having talked to him a couple of times in interviews and talked to other baseball greats about whether or not he should be in the Hall of Fame. Let's start with health care, because this is scary to all of us. This affects everybody across the board who's listening, whether you're in a big town, a big city, wherever you're listening to me, and you live in the United States. This is something that will hit you close to home. Will you pay more? Will you not like the kind of coverage you're getting? Will it change your current coverage? Everybody's in a different situation. Are you married? Are you single? Do you have a bunch of kids? Are you carrying somebody else on your health insurance? Are you worried about an older relative? And the baby boomers, certainly, once the baby boomers pour into the system, that's the thing to be worried about, because what happens currently the way we are, it isn't acceptable. There are holes in the system like Swiss cheese, no doubt. But to exchange what we have for something that's half-assed is not a good idea either, and something that's going to cost us more money. When we have high unemployment, people struggling to keep their head above water, then they got to figure out ways to come up with more money for healthcare premiums. That's not a good scenario. That's not an acceptable scenario. And it's not acceptable to chunk that much more money onto the debt. Who's going to pay ultimately for the trillions that we're talking in health care reform? And it's never what it seems. It's never what it seems. You know, it's not like you're getting a discount. It's not like you're going to a discount store. It's been slashed down three times, and you know that this is the price you're paying when you get to the register. They're not telling you it's three times more the amount what was originally on the tag. And that's the problem. I think that they're, whatever ultimately, if this were to go through in the current form that's being tossed around, besides a lot of questions, besides a lot of going to cost, I think, more money than is even being suggested now at this point. Something else that we'll bring up is, just briefly, is Sonia Sotomayor. Of course, we've talked to federal judge, and ultimately, what does that mean for the Supreme Court? You know, my feelings, you're trading one judge for another because she would be right in line with David Souter, I'm assuming, based on what she's done in the past, therefore the balance isn't upset yet. The next one, if somebody were to leave, the next one would have a big effect probably on how the decisions would go. Already one hurdle's been passed for Sotomayor. The next one is the full vote of the Senate. I don't think that's a surprise. One Republican voted in favor on that Senate Judiciary Committee, and that was Lindsey Graham, the senator from the Republican senator, course, from South Carolina, who felt that she had the credentials and she was the right person to pick up the mantle and fill that justice's spot, Souter's spot. However, now when it goes to the full Senate vote, could something change? Will there be something that will make Sotomayor not become a reality? The answer is no. If I were a betting person, I said this from the very beginning, you can just put your money on red. Let's say she's red, and it's going to take it all the way to the bank. Nothing will stand in the way of Sotomayor becoming a Supreme Court judge. It's just a matter of the formality of the full vote of the Senate, because she already cleared the one hurdle. You can react to any of this stuff at 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. 91, and more specifics on health reform and what the model is looking at now. The overall health care reform right now, to me, is too ill-advised to vote on, and I think that the Blue Dog Democrats will shoot it down anyway. The Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, doesn't want that out there, but it's too late. It's already been put out. I can't believe that by next Friday they'll have a vote on this. Hang with us. Much more to come down the alley called America Tonight.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean it really works. No, I mean it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
Hi, this is John Swenson again at Midas Resources, and let me ask just one question. What would you list as the things that the federal government does really well? The armed forces and printing bogus money doesn't count. Now take that blank page of yours and list the ways that you have to protect your assets and escape the paper markets. The only real option is precious metals. For your retirement, your kids' education, or just plain survival when the whole Obama mess comes crashing down. You are the only one you can count on for a stimulus package, and I'd like to discuss a proven strategy to create that safety net for you and your family. Please give me a call at 800-686-2237, extension 128. That's 800-686-2237, extension 128. And together we can develop a Make Sense program before the clock runs out. Once more, John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128, and take charge of your future, and thank you.
Deciding not to hold health care, that big vote before the recess. They're saying, oh, that's not true. It really was already leaked out there that there was no way this was going to happen. They're going to leave for the August recess, and they're not going to have health care reform on the floor. I just don't see how they're going to be able to do that by everything that's happened in these committees. There's still a lot of non-disagreement. So, what do you think about this health care in the current form? Do you think the idea of saving money the way that we're talking about, saving money to eliminate some of the concerns with older people, I was mentioning that in the opening there. In other words, we're not saying euthanasia, but something close to it. Is that fair or foul in your opinion? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. You can weigh in on that or some of the other things that we're going to mention as well. There's also this idea of a big fat soda tax, or what they're calling it is the calorie tax that will affect you. But, you know, as much as you want to say, well, that's good because then there's going to be people that aren't going to, that are going to lose some weight. They're not going to buy the chips. They're not going to buy the soda. But ultimately, it's not about that. It's about taxation, right? So it's about once again, you and I paying to cover some costs of something else. It's more that tax them, tax them, tax them, and maybe they won't notice. But the thing is, what's going to happen is this emphasis is the impact is going to hit poor Americans. And the American Beverage Association was pretty clear on what they said. Of course they opposed the tax. I happened to catch this. I said this before in the Wall Street Journal. There's no question that it would hit the poor because the they even formed a coalition called Americans Against Food Taxes to oppose the soda tax, right? You got about 110 organizations opposed to raising taxes on food and drinks to pay for health care reform. In fact, they even have an ad running that shows a family enjoying a bunch of pop or soda or whatever when they're out on a camping trip. And if you look at the economy, and I guess this is true, if you look at the economy and the struggles that people are having, you start to slap taxes on stuff like, you know, sodas and whatnot. Then you're taking away, and this sounds funny to say this, but then you're taking away one of the pleasure factors that people who don't have a lot of money can afford. I mean, does that sound ridiculous? Don't take away my potato chips, because by golly, that's the one thing that we can have for the kids on Saturday. We have a party and we have hot dogs and we have potato chips. And if you have these outrageous taxes and we have a big family and we have all these kids coming over, then we can't afford to get our chips and to get our soda. And for people who clip coupons and stuff, you certainly know what I'm talking about, right? So in itself, to say, well, you know, it's a, this is about people being heavy, and this is a way that you can reduce those hips and have, don't have these women with these giant rear ends that are coming into the doctor's office and aren't healthy and are coming down with diabetes, and the same thing with the men. But hogwash. I don't think it's about that at all. I think strictly it is about ultimately ramming down more taxes on the people who can least afford it in the United States, right? It's not about coming up with ways for the haves to help the have-nots. It's a way for the have-nots to get the screws put to them again. Got a couple of emails here. You can shoot me an email, americatonight.net. Since I've been talking about this in some of the previous hours on America Tonight, healthcare reform and the state of where it is right now, probably the no vote, as I said, and also this other form of taxation that's been kicked around for a while, but the soda slash food tax. Got one here from Ed.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, thank you. Can I hear that again?
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, I love that sound. Ed says, Kate, you know, you are dead right about the soda and chips. Isn't it funny? Because it does sound ridiculous. Why, when you think it's better for people to be healthier, to trim down, to not have to bang up their knees, to not have to be walking with canes when they're in their early 40s, why would you suggest to shoot down a tax on fattening foods? But at the same time, the point that you made, that it's the pleasure of some of the poorer people in the country, and the fact that you'll ultimately cost people their jobs and their livelihood, here we go again. Who can we put the screws to? Who can we force the tax on? And that's the perfect thing to tax. More taxation. Outrageous. Here's another one from Big Bob. Big Bob says, Kate, hey, glad you made it back safely from Maui. I was so jealous listening to you when you were broadcasting from the island, wondering if you had any macadamia nuts. Imagine if they taxed them. They're already outrageously expensive. You know, it's funny. Macadamia nuts to that island are like Doritos or potato chips, certainly, to anybody in the mainland. They obviously have those foods as well. But macadamia nuts and other products that are Hawaiian are so expensive. You go to Hawaii and you can just double the amount in some cases as to what you're paying for any kind of fast food. Absolutely. Hey, Matt, what do you think? You know, you're somebody, we talked off the air, and you're somebody who doesn't partake in the whole potato chip soda thing, and it would be a lot of money they would raise in taxes. But I think what the point I was making earlier, if you taxed cigarettes, I still think you still have a lot of people that are smoking cigarettes, and I really believe it's the same thing as far as trying to police people and their eating. It's addiction. It's what people do. I mean, some people overeat, and some people can drink sodas and eat potato chips, and they're not heavy, and they're just fine.
Yeah, I'm not a huge snacker anymore now that I've gotten a little older, because everything you snack on seems to stay on, if you know what I mean.
That's right.
So I've had to quit doing that, and I don't know. I think if you tax, like everything, like you said, like the snacks and all that, it's not going to stop somebody from buying it, because, you know, it's like if you want Doritos, you want Doritos, and you're not going to stop buying them because there's an extra, you know, 15 cents added on or whatever the tax is going to be. So I don't think it's going to be a deterrent at all. All it's going to do is just raise the amount of money that it is for, you know, a soda or some chips.
Right. And that's what I think, too. I mean, disguising it under obesity is good, because you just throw it down as, all right, this is a way to deter people. You can get maybe, if obesity-related health spending is somewhere in the neighborhood of $147, $150 billion a year, and that's double what it was a decade, well, if you do a 3-cent tax, you're talking about $24 billion over the next 4 years, and therefore you would lower maybe consumption of sugary drinks, improve overall health care, and then you would stimulate the economy in a way. But and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and they talked about this, they had a Weight of the Nation conference today, and they said the increasing the price of unhealthy foods would be effective at combating the nation's obesity problem. So that's part of where it's where it's come from. However, the CDC chief, a guy named Tom Frieden, said he wasn't endorsing the tax, but he was just presenting the science, and said the policies would reduce the cost of health foods and it would effectively bring down obesity rates. So that's the other thing. The people who push healthy foods, which is, of course, the whole foods, whatever, organic foods, fruits and vegetables, they're the ones who could benefit from this, while the other guys take it in the belly, so to speak, with the soda tax. And honestly, how much does it really combat obesity? See, that's the thing.
See, I don't understand that either, because there's, you know, let's say you're going to get a can of soda, and for the vending machines that still have that, you know, you got some that are 50 cents,
right,
others that are 75 cents. If you want a soda, the extra 25 cents isn't going to deter you unless, you know,
no,
you're all out of quarters or something like that. But it's not going to be like, oh, no, if it was 50 cents, I would have gotten it, but let me check that. So an extra 25, not going to do it. You know, nobody's going to think like that. Everybody's going to get whatever they're looking for. You know, if you're looking to buy, you know, Doritos and a soda, you're going to go out and do it regardless of the cost if it's an extra, you know, 50 cents or whatever.
Right. I think where it would affect more and where people in the industry would know that is when you go to the grocery store and you're counting more of the pennies there, and you have to, a big family or a family, whatever, and you're talking about getting six packs of soda and you're talking about getting chips, and the price goes up and up, there people may be more deterred than in the individual situations like going to a soda machine. And it's interesting what Matt brings up, because with soda machines, with the whole vending machine thing, depending on where you are, man, that really varies. And it depends on the company, because the company that has the soda machine, they make the money on it. So they get it for XYZ from the company and charge whatever. I've seen sodas as high as almost $2 in some cases, and that's at high-end places. But, and then you have other places, like Matt says, you can still get a soda maybe for 50 or 75 cents. 50 cents would be a real bargain if you were able to get that somewhere anymore. Coming up next, cancer risk jumping 75%. If you use the ultraviolet radiation from those tanning beds before you're 30 years old, watch out. It's the young people that actually go there. We're going to talk about that coming up around the bend.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. The 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the ebook. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. And start changing your life today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Surprised by this. Now they're saying, at least international cancer experts, they're saying tanning beds and any of the things that produce ultraviolet radiation risk cancer. You're putting yourself in the top cancer risk category. They're in fact calling them deadly as arsenic and mustard gas. Wow. For years, scientists have warned about it, but this new analysis, they did about 20 studies, and it concluded that the risk of skin cancer jumps by 75% when people start using tanning beds before 30. They also found out that all types of ultraviolet radiation caused worrying mutations in mice, which would be one of the proof. That's the proof that they're using. And also that one of the types of ultraviolet radiation was thought to be pretty lethal. And, man, can you imagine, because I know in my own neighborhood, I want to say there's probably like 4 tanning bed places, and business seems to be good, even if we're in a recession. You know, it's that vanity that a tanning bed plays into. You want to get in shape. You're going to a high school reunion. You're going to some big party. You're going to some big whatever, and you want to look good. And if you're particularly pale, you go to the tanning bed. I myself have only been to a tanning bed twice. I didn't really like it. I didn't like doing the tanning bed thing. And I have the skin that if I'm just careful in the sun, I would tan pretty well anyway. But I'm always careful about the sun because I've known too many people that have had little skin cancer things. Luckily, they've survived it. Just one guy I worked with in radio in California, great guy. He had, for years, he was a Californian. He had, you know, done the surfing thing and got his back burned a bunch, got skin cancer, and died from skin cancer. He was about, I want to say he's about 58 years old. But anyway, this new classification means tanning beds and all the other sources combined of ultraviolet radiation are definite causes of cancer. Wow. And it was published online in the medical journal this last week by some experts at the International Agency for Research on Cancer in Lyon. And that, of course, is one of the cancer arms of the World Health Organization. I wonder if that once that starts to circulate, if it will cut back on people going to the tanning beds, if it'll cut into that business, because the cancer warning will be too scary even for people under 30, or will those just, the people that like to go to tanning beds just ignore it? But, you know, the hopefully teenagers don't think, and that's what I think. You have a teenager where all the pressure is, because now it's like anybody, like maybe from 24 under, I've noticed, depending on where you live, there's this pressure to be super, super thin and super, super good looking. We're talking boys and girls. So more people are using tanning beds. So you've got the possibility of younger people. Skin and eye cancer, too. Wow. Forget about it. There's just no way. I'd say just write off the whole tanning bed thing. Matt, did you ever use a tanning bed? Have you ever done the tanning thing?
I did one winter before I was going to take a trip down south, try to get a little pregame color going on, but I don't think I'd ever do it again just because I went like, I don't know, I think it was like six times, something like that. It just didn't, I didn't really feel like it was worth it because you can just sit out in the sun for a couple days once you get to your vacation destination and do the same thing with less of the risk. Because you can just put suntan lotion on, get everything taken care of that way, and still, you know, get some color on you.
Yeah, I think you have to be careful with the sun. It's tricky. The sun adds some elements, and I think it's good. It's a healthy thing to have time in the sun, but you got to really be careful with it. And I agree with you that the tanning bed thing, yeah, I just, the two times I did it, and I don't remember why I did it either. It was something to do with the trip, same thing, where I thought I was preventing, okay, I don't want to get fried alive, wherever it was I was going, and I just didn't like the whole idea of doing it that way. It felt too artificial to me, and it did feel like it wasn't safe.
Yeah,
I mean, even though everybody's telling me, oh, it's completely safe, and here's the glasses you put on and everything else, it just didn't feel that way to me.
Yeah, you're sitting in there, and it's basically, I mean, you're getting cooked like a cannoli.
Yes.
And, I mean, who knows what it's doing to your insides, you know? I mean, it's just, everything about it seems completely wrong.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just like, you know, smoking a cigarette. Like, how could this not be damaging me? It's the same thing with, you know, being in a tanning bed. There's no way you can just sit there and think, like, oh, this is going to be completely safe.
Yeah. Anybody out there have the same experience Matt and I had? Has anybody jumped into the tanning bed? And I'm sure nobody listening to me is blown away by them. But although that's pretty harsh words to say, it's like arsenic or mustard gas. So it's not even like, yeah, this isn't advisable to use this because it could cause cancer. No, they're comparing it to arsenic and mustard gas. That, I'd say, is pretty scary. But I still think the whole vanity thing would win out with some people in parts of the country who would still go to the tanning bed and opt for that look versus the pale, pasty white look that some people are sporting around. In fact, there was even a reality show about a tanning place, a tanning. They had it in Los Angeles, and they had it in Vegas, and made tons of money. And it was a whole reality show about people coming into the tanning bed place. I remember seeing little snippets of it, and I was stunned. The one thing I saw, because I'm not a fan of reality shows, but the one thing I saw was a little girl came in, she was getting her picture taken, her mother brought her in, this was L.A., for, you know, the typical kid pictures you get. She had, like, a Catholic school uniform on, and her mother was bringing her in to get her tanned up so she would look better for the picture. And something about that, I was like, wow, you have to be kidding. A six-year-old to the tanning bed to look good for the picture, somehow that whole thing has passed me by. On to more serious things from the tanning bed, although that is serious, the cancer risk. Be careful if you're out there partaking in that. This comes with the whole budget thing and money thing that we've been talking about. What else? Same thing. Imagine if you are an officer, a guard, and you have to watch the inmates at a prison. Maximum security, we'll say. So what's happened now is because of constraints, budget cuts, and all that sort of stuff, states are cutting, you know, they're targeting prisons for the cuts. So people should be worried. Because when you have like 150 officers watching over almost 4,000 inmates, that's about 700 more than capacity. They're saying, for example, at Menard Correctional Center in Illinois, that's what the case is. So you've got a guard covering 8 inmates when they're in the cafeteria, twice as many as they used to have. And they say it's going to be even more cuts because that's, you know, they got to figure out where they're going to cut, and that's what they've decided to cut in a lot of states. 9 states, in fact, are considering closing prisons or cutting staff, and others are shedding the inmate education programs that so many people say are one thing that's critical to reducing the possibility of recidivism if they get that education. For example, people are listening to us in the great state of Kentucky. Kentucky has released more than 2,800 inmates since last year by allowing the prisoners to get more credit than normal for time served. They just want to move them out. They got to move them out. They can't afford it. So you got about 150 violent felons and 24 sex offenders were initially set free because of a loophole that now, of course, has been closed, but that originally happened. Because you had a court that found that the Kentucky early release program didn't take into account the nature of the crimes or the financial or human costs. So the state Supreme Court is going to hear the case next month because prosecutors challenged the program. And sticking with Kentucky, the person who oversees Kentucky's penal system said the program is very sound public policy, that more parolees are likely to be productive, surrounded by family, working, and paying child support and restitution than in a prison yard. So they'd rather see that stick. Michigan, they've had to do the same thing. They reduced their prison population from 51,000 to about 47,000 and change through paroles and all that other sort of stuff and tried to expand the effort to keep parolees from committing new crimes. But, you know, it's all well and good to say that, and then you see this recidivism happen, and so often, unfortunately, and I hate to say this, when we hear of some little girl being kidnapped or some heinous crime, whoops, turns out somebody was let go from prison early. Whoops, turns out we didn't realize that serial killer wasn't exactly right because I had just too many cases that day on my desk. Oof. And they've got a, like, Governor Jennifer Granholm says in her case, and when you're talking about Michigan, that the goal is to get the number of people below 45,000 and close 3 state prisons and 5 prison camps because it would save the state, which is just drowning in deficit. It would save $120 million. But they're really supposedly combing through all the people that are being released to make sure it's low-risk offenders that get the early parole. Because when you look at state lockups, paying guards, drug treatment, probation, parole programs, it's a huge drain on anybody's state budget. So whenever there's a cash crunch of any sort, that's definitely one of the places that's looked at. But the problem is, how risky is it for the people in their own backyard? How about the people of Kentucky? How would you feel if people with the more serious crimes are released and it could be risky business in your neighborhood? Sure, you're not going to like it, right? 800-259-5791. Hang with us. Odds and Ends next.
I'm telling you, Brian, my tanning days are over.
It's a new year full of uncertainties. People are being laid off in record numbers. The price of food continues to rise, and the economy continues to falter. You know that you need to prepare. And maybe you've been putting it off, but the time to act is now. That's why you need to visit Organicaseed.com. At Organicaseed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Imagine growing your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to Organicaseed.com. That's ORGANICA Seed.com. Organicaseed.com today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Oh, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon.
Time for odds and ends. We got a couple of good ones for you. More on the texting deal. It's about an avalanche of emails. Yeah, no problem on texting, huh, while driving. We can all multitask, and we won't crash. How about this? What a nutball. Alan Stanford, the Texas swindler, although he says he didn't do it, the Texas financier, who's accused of that $7 billion fraud, a.k.a. Madoff, mini Madoff, wants to be transferred to another detention facility because there's been no air conditioning in the jail cell where he's being held. So, yeah, his lawyer did something by filing something in the court to get Stanford moved. So for at least a week during the hottest part of the summer with the temps at 100 degrees or more, it is definitely a hot box, to say the least, without that air on. His attorney filed something over the weekend. He's been in custody since he was arrested in the middle of June. He's housed in what they call a single cell he shares with about 8 to 10 other guys. Yeah, that's what happens when you screw people over. His net worth was estimated at one point $2.2 billion by Forbes in 2008. And here we go again with the Ponzi scheme stuff. I don't feel sorry. Turn the heat up on this guy. He's got those criminal charges related to the alleged Ponzi scheme centering on that offshore bank in Antigua. So the U.S. district judge who ruled that Stanford should stay in jail under trial has denied a previous request to move him to move his client to downtown Houston. Like I said, that's what you get when you screw with people's money. Sorry, they're not going to feel sorry for you if you're burning up in a prison cell somewhere. All right, we move from Stanford to what I think is high hilarity. William Shatner does some pretty dry, funny things anyway. Conan O'Brien paid attention to what was going on with Palin on her last day. We played it on this show, remember, on Sunday, her final farewell. And he kind of saw in what Palin was doing, in her words, poetry. So who better to recite that poetry than to bring William Shatner to the set and have him do it?
Soaring through nature's finest snow. Denali, the great one, soaring under the midnight sun. And then the extremes in the wintertime. It's the frozen road that is competing with all of its ice-fogged, frigid beauty. The cold, though, doesn't it? Split the chichacos from the sourdoughs. And then in the summertime, such extremes. Summertime. About 150 degrees hotter than just some months ago, and then just some months from now. With fireweed blooming along the frost heaves and merciless rivers that are rushing and carving and reminding us that here, Mother Nature wins. And it is, as throughout all Alaska, that big, wild, good life teeming along the road that is north to the future.
He had to love that. How about some applause from William for William Shatner? I thought he did a great job with that interpretation. Yeah, it was funny. I got to give him that. They do have clever writers, no doubt. And we said this on our other show, Sarah Palin, who knows? I think she jumps into the TV radio business unless she decides to turn it down because it's more lucrative on the talk circuit. But I know that there are people sniffing around trying to make deals with her for sure, and Fox is one of them that has been feeling around to see if she would be interested in doing that. If you're somebody who texts while you are driving, shame on you. I said this before. I just don't see how, first of all, I don't care how great your eyesight is, how you can look down while you're driving and text and feel like you're not taking your eye off of the road. Of course you are. We have enough distractions when we drive anyway. It's bad enough when we were talking about cell phones. And now they're saying it's, what, 27 times greater chance of causing an accident or having an accident, having some kind of a crash. And it's not surprising. I don't think that number is surprising at all. I think it's just surprising that people think that they can drive, even on a back road somewhere, that they can find their way by taking their eye off of what's in front of them for a second or two and text whoever it is, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever text you're getting, and continue to focus on the road. I mean, of course you can't take your eyes off the road longer when you're talking, when you're listening on the phone. But the texting is even more dangerous because you've got that little keyboard in front of you and you can't. There's just no way. I'm a great multitasker, and it's actually 23 times greater. They say the collision risk was 23 times greater than when not texting, right? Drivers of heavy trucks texting. Their collision risk, that's what it was. Wow. And, I mean, it's just common sense. Give me a break. How can you look at the tiny keyboard and think it's going to be safe? So, anyway, I got a ton of emails on this. I'm going to whip through a bunch of them. One from Bob. Bob says, texting is ridiculous. I see it all the time. It doesn't matter, Kate, if I'm in a rural area or if I'm in an area like you are where you say you're in a city. Of course, it's probably even more dangerous on those type of highways, but it's still just as damn dangerous in a rural spot as well. You turn your head for one split second, the next thing you know, you've plowed into somebody or gone through a stop sign. Absolutely. Here's another one from Jane. Jane says, Kate, longtime listener, you were talking the other day about the texting along with cell phones, putting makeup on and everything else that people do in cars. I think it's outrageous that people think they can look at a tiny keyboard and text something and not have something happen in a car. Of course you're taking your eyes away from what you're doing. Of course, of course, of course. Unless you're the passenger. If you're the passenger, text away. Here's another one from John. John says, I agree with what you said about texting. There's no way people should be texting in the car. And I also agree that they should ticket these people heavily. I know you say this all the time. You hate Big Brother things. But I think in the case of texting, it's just too dangerous. And I believe it's going to get worse. And we're going to hear other studies where we have these outrageous death counts because somebody is so careless and they don't think of their fellow human being. All right, well said. That's what I believe. I think you're not thinking about the other people on the road. It's a selfish deal. If you want to text, then take the train. Then you're on the train. You're texting. It doesn't matter. You're not driving the train. Pull over into the McDonald's parking lot. Grab a cup of Joe. Text everybody away and then get back on the road. get to your destination earlier, text in the parking lot there before you go into work or for the appointment or whatever it is. I just don't understand it. Nothing can be that important. It's not an important text that can't wait until you get to wherever it is. Or if you're waiting for what you think is an important text, why can't you pull over? Right? Because let's face it, it's just like calling somebody back. If it's a job interview, if it's something to do with a callback on a job or something to do with your job, are you going to call somebody back when you're so distracted they can't hear you, you can't hear them? The answer is, of course not. You're going to pull, if you're smart, you're going to pull over and have a conversation where you're focused so that it makes sense and you know what you're talking about. I had this happen the other day. I had a business call. I had just come back from my trip and I was in a car dealership because, has this ever happened to anyone out there? The visor in my car wouldn't flip back over. So I was in the dealership and it was no big deal. I think they had to give me a new one, but it was covered in the warranty. But anyway, I was in their lounge, in their waiting area, and I had a call that I had to take, but I had time to make the call. The car wasn't ready. I made the call. I didn't get into the car, drive off the lot, and be all confused, thinking about a million things, trying to focus on what somebody was telling me on the phone. And I certainly would not do the texting thing. That would be a disaster. Even though I'm a defensive driver, if I'm trying to focus, I hit the wrong letter, whatever it is, I just know I wouldn't do it. As a passenger, absolutely. As somebody who's driving the car, forget about it. So just think people. When you're in a car, of course, it makes absolutely no sense to do it, right? Zero. Give me a break. Thanks for all the emails on that and some of the things that we've talked. I know sometimes there's lag time. You hear the conversation, you think about it, and then you flip me an email. That's cool. You can do that. I'm sure we'll be talking more about texting and things that people do in cars. That's fine. Of course, we're going to be talking about health care reform. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the president, the policeman, and the professor as that big meeting at the White House happens this Thursday. So don't lose the address, americatonight.net.
I hate that. You got a cell phone that has texting. I don't care if anybody, even anybody in the studio, you have a dang cell phone, but you have the option to text. Why don't you just pick up the phone and talk to the person?
Sometimes this is easier than
that.
It's easier than text, though.
No, it pisses me off. Pick up the damn phone and talk to somebody. Stop sitting there texting.